Okay, so new sugya, basically, or new aspect of the sugya. Basically, last sugya we were discussing the techiyah nisa, you know, aspect of of b'macheres. So now we're going to be discussing the mamonos aspect of b'macheres. Basically, as you probably know from the Gemaras, that, you know, some of the Gemaras relating to b'macheres deal with the, you know, machayev of nisa for the b'macheres. Another part of the Gemara's deal with the Petur Mamon triggered by that Chiyav Nisa, i.e. the issue of Kimlei Bedramini. So again, this is one of the very important, you know, Gemara's for Kimlei in general. So with that, let's go to it. So start with the Mishnah, let's just chazer again, because we'll be focusing on a different part of the Mishnah than we did last time. You can see, would you mind? Close around.
Okay. Abba Mataris, Nida Al Shim Sofa.
Okay, so what is he saying?
So if someone is above Machteres, he's judged on what he will do.
Okay, so that was last sugya.
And if he's above Machteres and he breaks a piece of earthenware, if you do not have the right to kill him, then he has to pay. Exactly. If you do have the right to kill him, then he does not have to pay.
Which is the concept of?
Kimlei.
Exactly, right. When there's a Chiyav Nisa, then there's going to be a Petur Mamon. So again, you might skip over this one word, you know, when you're just reading the Mishnah in isolation, but after seeing the Gemara, what's the key word in the Mishnah? In terms of Shiber, exactly. So the Pashas of the Mishnah sounds like the Petur Kimlei, and the Gemara is going to cite this. Pashas of the Mishnah is that the Petur Kimlei only, you know, applies in a case where the item was destroyed, was broken. But we're going to see that point is contentious, to say the least. It's going to be a subject of a machlokes amaram. So with that, skip the first couple of lines of the Gemara because we dealt with them already, and start with amaram. So again, here is going to present a very esoteric machlokes again about whether the petur kimlei in the Mishnah is limited to the Mishnah's case of b'shishibir, when the item is no longer be'en, it's no longer intact, or does it also apply in a case where it is be'en? So with that, let's read it inside. Again, the Shaka Vitara, it's difficult. Each line is difficult, but it's very important to get this down. So let's pay careful attention. We'll read through it, and then we'll, you know, reference back to it when we go through the different Rishonim and their various interpretations. Go for it.
Okay. Yeah. Abba Machteres, the Natal Kelim, the Yatsa Pater. So Rav says that if someone's above Machteres and he takes Kelim, he's Pater. My Taima, so what's the reason he doesn't have to pay for them? Bidavim Kaninu, because of Kimla.
Exactly.
So it makes sense according to Rav when they broke because they're no longer in existence, so you're not going to be high for relationship with like Zila.
That's a lot of statements. One more time. And why does it make sense to limit it to the case of Shiber? It's indirectly, but I'm saying in terms of just the direct.
Because
it's not the end. We'll get to it. Leave it for now. We'll get to it when we get to the Rishonim.
Aval not halo. But if you just took them, you still have them. You should still have to give them back.
Okay. Actually, yeah. So just in short, you know, the simple pshat of Rava, again, just important for the Hemshech. The simple pshat in Rava is that the only time there is a Petur Kimlei. Exactly. It's the case of Peshashaber. Why? Because that's the case where
you're paying out of pocket. You're paying out of pocket.
Exactly. When there's a Chiyav Tashlum. Here we're going to develop this in just a moment. But the Pashtra on the Gemara, as we say, developed by a number of Rishonim, Rashi, Chiddush Aran, etc., is that Kimlei is going to be limited to Chiyuvei Tashlumim, when you're paying out of pocket, right? You're paying of your own money. And therefore, but in the case where you just have to be machzir a pikadon, to just return that which belongs to the other person, so then Kimlei is not going to apply in such a case, and we'll explain why. So in short, Rava seems to be saying that the only time that there's a chi of mamon is only when b'shishiber. But if it's not tal, but if it's be'en, seemingly you haven't been koneh. And since you haven't been koneh, so therefore the returning is just returning that which belongs to the Baal Bayis, and therefore that's not a Chiyav Mamon, and therefore there's no Kimlei. So again, the next couple lines in the Gemara are seemingly going to be done on this very question about whether a Ganav is Kona the item which is Be'en. So again, Rava just said, you're not, right? You're not kohen of the item, which is ban. And now the Gemara is going to defend Rav by saying, no, perhaps you really are kohen of the object, even when it is ban.
Lelukim. So, how can you say such a thing? Amar Rav, afilu nata. So, according to Rav, it should be true that you still have to pay, even if they didn't break.
Meaning, Rav's whole statement was about applying kimle to nata. So you can't say, yeah, Rav's whole statement makes sense, except for, like, the whole statement. Right? That's basically what just happened. Like, the whole statement was natal, and we're like, oh, yeah, it makes sense in the case of Shibir. That's exactly the opposite of what he's saying. So Gemara's, in essence, trying to say, like, you know, nice try, but at the end of the day, Rav said what he said, and he meant it. He meant afilu natal. So now the Gemara now has to justify that, right? The Gemara is now going to offer a svara as to why would the Petur Kimle even apply in a case of natal, i.e., by justifying that even in the case of Natal, even when it's Be'en, there is the Ganav was Kona. So how do we prove that the Ganav is Kona?
Because we see that in the case where there's no Kimle and they break, he's Chayav. Alma b'shusei kaimi. So we see that it is in the Ganav's possession.
Right, exactly. Again, at this point, assuming the Chiv Onsen, which is incumbent upon the Ganav, is a Simen to the fact that the Ganav owns it. Because again, the Svara being, there's a lot here, but basically the Pashtun on the Gemara is that a Chiv Onsen, again, when something is out of your control, so why would you be responsible for something that's out of your control? So Pashtun is that you're not responsible for it as much as it belongs to you. So the person who loses is the person who owns it. So therefore, if the Ganav incurs the loss of her onis, so must be, not because it was his responsibility, but it must be because he owns it, and therefore once he owns it, he incurs the loss. So that's what the Gemara assumes. At this point, Alma Brishus Akami, so it must be the Chiv Ones of a Ganav is a simen that a Ganav has a full kinyan in the item, even though it's Be'en. So therefore, Hachanami.
Hachanami Brishus Akami. So also here, by the Ein Lo Damin, we see that it's in his possession because of Kimle. Therefore, also by him, because in his possession he does not need to pay.
Exactly. I mean, because he's Kona, so then the returning would be a Tashulman. Giving something which belongs to him, that's a Chiyat Tashulman, and therefore it's a Chiyat Tashulman, which therefore falls under, you know, the rubric of Kimle. So now the Gemara Velohi is now what, just structurally, what is this now defending? Rabbah, exactly, right. So again, we're going to see, it's going to become important when we see the Baal Mor. The Pash Pshat, when you read this Gemara, is that Velohi is just explaining Rabbah, right? Or basically, we just defend it, right? The Gemara just gave a svar to defend Rav. When you reject Rav, it sounds like we're going back to Rabbah. So we're going to see that it's not Mukhruch, though, although we're defending the Shita of Rav, that Kimle is limited to the case of Bishishiber, it's not 100% clear that this is Rava himself. Just structurally, you're open, you know, the Gemara is open to learning that this might be Shita's Rava, but like Velav Mitame. That's an important Neguda, which might help out with an apparent stira within the Baal Mor.
Velohi, if you commit a Rachman of Rishu Sei, Le'inan, the sin of Al'inan, Machin of Rishu Sei, Zemari, Kaimen. Though before the whole question was based on the assumption because he's chayv and onsen, it shows that sins are shus. But we're saying that it's two different things. When you say the din is that he has that he's chayv and onsen, it's not because sins are shus, but rather because mitad haba ashawo.
There's a concept of his chayvus for onsen, even though without reflecting anything about bias. Okay, we'll stop there for now. So basically, a very important, you know, part of the sugya is really understanding the nekudas ha-machlokas between Rav and Rava. That's really where we're going to focus tonight and tomorrow night, and really trying to figure out, according to different Rishonim, what exactly is the nekudas ha-machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. And we're going to see that broadly... Rav and Rava. Thank you. Just making sure you're listening. Between Rav and Rava. So broadly speaking, we're going to see that there are two general approaches about, again, what realm, within which realm are they arguing. The first broad approach is that they're arguing midine kinyanim. Meaning, we'll flesh it out in just a moment, they agree about the nature and the parameters of Kimle, the drama minei, but they are arguing about the kinyan of Aganov. So approach number one, we'll develop that in a second. Approach number two, which we'll get to tomorrow night, is that no, the machlokas is not about, you know, the kinyan of Aganov. They agree about, you know, how much Aganov is kone, but they're arguing about the scope and nature of Kimle Bidrami. That's going to be tomorrow night.
So you're the exact opposite of each other.
Yes. Or different. But, yeah. So those are the, broadly speaking, just to give you a, you know, the big picture of where we're going. So again, so tonight we're going to discuss the first approach that they're arguing, Midine Kinyanim. Ah. So now let's just flesh that out. So according to this first approach, that their machlokas is not about Kimle, but it's rather about, you know, the Kinyan of a Tazlan. So according to this approach, everyone agrees that Kimle is only poter a person from a chiyav tashlumin, which is defined as paying from your own pocket. But according to this approach, if the chiyav mamon is simply just to return a pikadom, to return that which belongs to the other person, that does not fall under the geder of Kimle. What's the idea? If you take a step back, remember, Kimle is the idea that when you're chayiv and onesh hachamor, and you're chayiv and onesh hakal, so we're only mechayiv you for the onesh hachamor. So again, Kimle is about onshin. So therefore, it's very misdavar according to this first approach, that the only time a chayiv mamon is defined as an onesh, to therefore be subject to Kimle, is when we're being mafsid the person. We're being mechayiv the person to pay out of his own pocket. Right? To be mechayiv a person to pay out of his own pocket, I can see that being an onish. Right? You know, fork up $100 from your own wallet. But if the chiyav mamon is simply just to be machzer a pikadom, to return an object which belongs to the other guy, that's not an onish. Right? It's not an onish for someone who borrows something to like have to return the money. Again, that's a chiyav mamon in a general sense, because, you know, you have to transfer mamonus. At the end of the day, it wouldn't be mugdar as an onish to therefore be subject to kimla. So in short, this first approach, right, thinks that everyone agrees that the geder of kimla is that it is only poter chiyuv tashlumin, when you have to pay out of your own pocket, because assuming that only a chiyuv tashlumin, only paying out of your own pocket, is considered an onish to therefore be subject to kimla.
Why? It's not tashlumin and just a valid object. Why exactly is that considered a punishment?
So again, if it's just returning.
No, it's not returning the object. They're just paying, let's say, you're like breached or something, and you're just paying the value of the object. Is that still considered a punishment?
Yeah, I mean, in the chiyuv mamon sense, you're basically saying, because you broke it, now, you know, we're sort of, you know, now you have to, you know, compensate for it. So again, not punishment, like, it's not the same as malchus, but if you're trying to, like, understand, like, what types of chiyuvei mamon fall under the gather of an onish and which do not, so I think this chiluk makes a lot of sense. And when we're making you pay from your own pocket, so that's more of an onish than just returning that which belongs to the other person. Fine. So again, according to this first approach, since both Rav and Rava agree that Kimle only applies to Chiyav Tashlumen, so then the Nekudas HaMachlokes between Rav and Rava will seemingly pertain to whether the particular case at hand, i.e., Natal, when the item is Be'en, whether that is a Chiyav Tashlumen or not. Meaning, but not the Kobeya for that, is, i.e., whether the Ganav has been Kona. Because if the Ganav has been kona the object which is be'en. So if he's kona it, so then when we make him return it, that is considered a tashlumin. You're returning that which belongs to you. But if the ganav has not been kona it, and therefore it's just a pikadon in his rishus, so then his returning of it is not considered a tashlumin, and therefore it wouldn't be subject to kimla. So again, so within this first approach that the machlokes is all about kinyanim and not about Kimle, we're going to see within this first approach there are going to be two different versions about, and right, when the Machlokes is in the realm of Kinyanim, so again, option 1A, we'll call it, is that they're arguing on a D'oraisa level. Right, according to this first version, 1a, is a machlokes Rav and Rava is a machlokes mida araisa about whether the ganav has been kona the apik, which is the end. We're going to see, we'll get to this next. The second version, called 1b, is that everyone agrees mida araisa that he has been kona. The only machlokes is whether there is a chiyav derabanan to return that which is bad. We'll get back to that. I just want to give you the big picture. So again, the first version, 1a, again, is that they're arguing mida araisa about whether or not a ganav is kone, right? Now, basically, attains a kinyan mamon on a chepta hagazel, which is be'en. That's going to be this first version. The nekudas hamachok is between Rav and Rava. We'll get to it. But basically, everyone agrees that mida araisa, you have been kone. And the basis of Rava is that there's an external chiyav derabanan to return that which is bad.
So it'd be kadon is on something that you only have a half partial kinyan.
No, you have no kinyan. Bikadon means it totally belongs to the mafkid, to the original person, and it's just.
I can say you have a kinyan ones, not a kinyan.
What? Meaning. We'll see. Meaning, we'll spell it out right now. Okay. So again, according to this first version, again the machlokes is midal raisa, whether you're kone. This, where is Yossi? Oh, right. This seems to be the pash pshan the gemara.
Yeah.
Yossi can't even conceive of a different mahalachim. So again, we're going to see that if you read the pash pshat in the gemara, of the Shach Vitaria, is that. The machlokes is mida araisa, whether or not, right, the machlokes between Rav and Rava is whether or not the ganav has been kone the item. Right? Just if you go back to the Shach Vitaria, as you can see, so beautifully read, right? But the whole point, right, when the Gemara, right, with the line of Ha'elokim, right? When we're trying, when the Gemara is offering a justification for Rav, so what type of svar does he give? In essence, what is it trying to tell you? It's trying to prove that the ganav is kone. Right? The whole point, right, we bring a raya from the chiv ones of a ganav. Right, we say the chiv ones of a ganav is a reflection, is a simon, that the ganav is a full kinyan. And then the response of the vlohi, of let's say the shita of Rava, seems to be that no, that's not a good raya, because really there is no kinyan. So again, the simple pshat of the Gemara is along the lines of this first, you know, this first approach, 1a. That the machlokes between Rav and Rava is a fundamental machlokes mi'ikar adin mi'da araisa whether or not a ganav is kona a chifetz which is ben. So in line with this pashtus, let's just look at a couple of the Rashi's which seem to learn the Gemara kipashtus. Start it, yeah.
Even according to Rav, they're saying that. According to Rav, they're saying that
there is a kinyan.
There is a kinyan, and therefore.
Since there's a kinyan gomor, exactly. So therefore, they're returning.
But even when there's a kinyan gomor, it's after returning the
chifetz. Oh, we're gonna get there. Yeah, yeah. All these rishonim are going to have to explain that. If it's a kinyan gomor, so then why?
No, I'm saying even if once you have to return the chifetz, it's just still be not part of kalba.
That's kimle.
Are you saying that everyone agrees that by kimle?
I'm adding, yeah.
Okay. Everyone agrees by kimle. That if I have to return the chifetz, so then it's not part of kimle. So even if I'm so paying
everyone,
the chifetz,
everyone agrees to that?
As you just
said again, that if what?
That isn't because you're returning the chifetz, it's because returning the chifetz as opposed to paying out of
pocket. Exactly, but even if I'm kone,
yeah.
I still have to give back the exact chifetz, right?
Yeah, but it's considered giving back that which belongs to you. Therefore, it's the gather of tashlumim.
Yeah, I'm saying when I pay out of pocket, it's more than owned because I have to pay something that I didn't take.
But we'll see. The Rashi's are going to say that if you're kona the object, then you're returning the object is considered to be the equivalent of paying cash out of pocket.
Yeah.
That's what Rashi. We'll read that right now.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm saying Rashi said.
Okay. Read Rashi right now.
Let's go back to what I was saying before.
But why don't we just read Rashi before we ask a question, Rashi? So again, in line with the Pashas of the Gemara, we're going to see a couple of Rashis, starting with Dira Maskel Ha'elokim, who's going to spell out, again, this is Rashi within Rav. Again, we'll just go through, and within this first approach, let's go first through the evidence of Rav, and then the evidence of Rava. Again, within the evidence of Rav, the following Rishonim, Makoros are going to highlight that the basis of Rav's Pshita is that Rav thinks that you're Kona the Chayfetz, which is Be'en. So you pointed out, the first makor for this is seems to be the Pashra on the Gemara. When the Gemara brings a raya to Rav from the Chiyuv Onis of Ganav and says, Alma Bershusei Kaimei, so Pashpshat, we're trying to establish that the basis of Shita's Rav is that he was Kona Legamre. So in line with that, look at Rashi Dir Maslapa Elokim, where the Gemara, that Rashi is going to similarly develop that the basis of Shita's Rav is that a Gana was Kona it Legamre. Sender, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even if he has it,
Right, so that's the key line, right? So Rashi just explained, basically explained the raya. Why is it that the chi of onis at this stage of the Gemara is a reflection, is a simon to bialis? Because at this stage we're understanding that a chi of onis, again, is not anyone's responsibility, it's just whoever is the owner ends up losing. Like Mustafa Sadeh. Tough luck, you know, it was an onis, but you know, if you owned it at the time, it's your loss. So therefore, the fact that we say that the loss is incurred to the ganav must be because he's the owner. Or you can't just say, oh, the Abdullah Bailam, it really belongs to the Bailam, so therefore it's the Bailam's loss. No. Right? Ella Amrina Brushusohain va Abdullah, if the loss is incurred to the ganav because it belongs to him. So Hachanami. Those last three words are for Binyamin. Four words. Right, basically, and therefore, that same Yisod, that once the Ganav has been Kona the item, so therefore, if he were to return that item, it's as if he's paying out of pocket. Therefore, it's the gather of a chi of tashlumim, and therefore, there's kinlan drama. So it's clear that Rashi, again, is taking this push pshat in the Gemara, that the basis of Rav is that there was a kinyan gamur. Once it's a kinyan gamur, therefore, the returning would be a tashlumim, and therefore, since it's tashlumim, therefore, there's kinlan. Yeah?
According to Rashi, why does it only have to be if you are not a nas, not your putter? And then Rashi seems to be saying from the first one, Ta'yesh Lodamim, that he says,
even though it was only Ne'anas, again, if the Ganav was Poshaya, it's Poshet, it wouldn't be a Raya.
He's Chayav, the wife, it belongs to the owner, should be Pacha if he's Poshaya.
No, that. What? I'm saying the fact that it would be a Chayav for Poshaya. Because you can alternatively explain that because that was his responsibility. You have a chiyah pshia by pikadons also. The point is that not only is he responsible for pshia, he's even responsible for an ones. How can you be responsible for something which is completely out of your control? Says Rashi, that's a reflection that he's the bailam, and therefore he's the one, like Nistafcha Sadehu, tough luck was on him. Basically,
the Yeshua Dhamma side, not the Amal Dhamma.
Yeah, because the Amal Dhamma is just because of Turk Kimley. But, okay. In Amal Dhamma,
would also be Chayav.
We're just bringing the Chi of Onis as a reflection that he is the Bailo.
Yeah.
In that case. And then you just carry over that Yesod of Bailos to Kimley to therefore, you know, justify the application of Kimley.
How is Einstein automatically? How is his chiyuv Einstein automatically showing that he has bailos? Maybe you could just say that, even though Einsteins generally would generate a tour, over here the einas generally only happens in one place. Meaning, if the ganav hadn't been gainavet, the einas wouldn't have happened necessarily.
Interesting. Well, let's say it was a case where it would have. Either way, then the chiyuv onis even includes a case where
chiyuv Einstein is always a riot.
No matter what happens. Again, it's a whole, you know, sugin of itself. I think actually Heichel learned this past year, right? Shomer?
Yeah.
Right, there's a whole discussion about what the nature of the Chiyav Onsen. Is it just a reflection of Bailus? It's a whole discussion, but like, you know, a shoal is chayiv in onsen. Is that because a shoal is treated as the bailum? Is that the basis of the chayiv onis? Or is that chayiv? That's, so again, this Gemara is obviously a raya, at this stage of the Gemara, is a raya to that first side. That the only basis of a chayiv onis is bailus. That's what the Gemara is assuming at this point. Again, this is an important Gemara for that after discussion.
So going back to what we said before, we said Pikadon is not a partial kinyan.
Pikadon is not any kinyan.
So that's why I'm confused. Because Rashi said by well not to low, because of the almond didn't have it.
That's within Rava.
Yeah. And the Rashi says, we said within Rava, that you only have a kinyan in your own sin, not in your kinyan in the canon.
Pashashat Kinyan Lenin Onsen is not in the realm of Mamanus.
How can you call something if it's not a Kinyan?
How can you what?
I think it's Bershuset, that's not a Kinyan.
Yeah, I mean it's Bershuset, meaning Bershuset Lenin Isser.
So it's Kinyan Lenin Isser.
Yeah, but again, that Kinyan is not in the realm of Choshem Mishma. It's not in the realm of Mamanus.
That's not called Kinyan, though.
It is, because Kinyan itself is not limited to the realm. There's a concept called Kinyan Isser. Is beyond the scope of this year, but like there is a concept, there's a kinyan mamon, there's a kinyan iser. So the pash pshat here is that chiyav ones, according to Rava Lamaskana, that's not a kinyan mamon, that's not a reflection of a kinyan mamon, it's a reflection of a kinyan iser. So therefore, the realm of mamonus, it's a full pikadon. Fine. So again, pash on the Gemara is like this. Rashi was explaining the pash on the Gemara, and also the chidush Aran, right? If you I'm not going to read all of it inside, but Chidush Aran similarly explains the basis of Rav, right, as being that the Ganav has a full kinyan in the Chepetz, even though it's bad. And
is that proof to 1A?
Yeah. Sorry. Exactly. So he's justifying Rav. Pirish Taimel Shel Rav. Right, and this is going on the explanation is after the Gemara brings a raya from the Chiyam Onis, or the parish of Rav, Shehusavar, that Rav holds, She'ilu HaKilum, that these Kalim, Hein Knuyim Legamre B'yat HaGanav, are completely in the under the bailus of the Ganav. So again, along these lines, explain the Chiddush Aran, like Rashi, explains the basis of Rav is that it's a full Kinyan Midol Raisa. But then the Ran asks a question which I thought was being asked before, which is, if it's true that within Rav that the Ganav is a full Kinyan Mamalim on the Chetetz which is Be'en, so then what's the obvious question?
Why do you need Kimla?
No.
So it should follow the hate that he should be able to have like almost a full
ownership.
Why is it only
the
Ganav?
Yeah, meaning I think that's what Nisan was saying. Meaning, if the Ganav really owns the Chefetz Be'en, so then why do we know, based on a pasuk, that if the item is Be'en, the Ganav has to return the item itself? Heishiv is like Zela Shergazal. So again, if the Ganav really has full, according to Rav, according to the Ran and Rashi, right? If the Ganav really has full Choshen Mishma Bailos on the Chepetz Be'en, so then why do we know that when the Chepetz is Be'en, the Ganav has to return the object?
Maybe why is it?
Okay, that's not what the Ran says. We'll get there. So the answer to this question is very important. So the way the Ran answered this question, or you could have just said, oh, that's a Chovas HaGavra of Heshvaz HaGzela Shargazal, that Af Al Pir, that you're the owner, there's a chovas agav. Could have said that?
It's more, can you just say it's also on the object? That even though you own it, it's still something that was stolen.
Yeah, but he doesn't even say that. So the Ran says more than that, and says that basically that while Rav holds that there's a kinyan, a full kinyan, seemingly, for the Ganav, it's really a partial kinyan. It's a kinyan le'inyan onsen and le'inyan kimle, but it's not a kinyan le'inyan not being, in terms of not being able, sorry, not having to return it. just the lashon.
So no one says that it's just like there's a custom, but really lying.
No. We're gonna get to that. That's next. Someone does say that, but not the Ron.
Yeah. Okay.
So the Ron himself. Right. So right after he just said she'ilu hakilim he kinuyim legamre biyadaganav. Right after he just said it was a full kinyan, he then asks this question implicitly, and right. And says, don't take this so far to think that because you're full bialim, so therefore you don't have to return the abik be'en, you can just give the damim. Shahari vaday, ein leganav ulegazlin, kniya bikli sheganav o gazal, ela la'achar yesh. Again. Shaybadai ein leganav ulegazlin kniya bekli sheganav ogazal ela la'achar yesh. So after just saying that it was a full kinyan, he's now saying that it's not a kinyan. What's going on? Basically, what the Ron is saying is that there's a kinyan le'inyan certain dinim, and there's no kinyan le'inyan other dinim. I.e., as we were discussing before, the notion of a kinyan of kinyanim. It's complicated. You have a kinyan leperos, a leguf. A lot of times when you're talking about kinyanim, you have a kinyan in certain realms, but not in other realms. So according to the Ran, he has this very nuanced perspective, that even within Rav, it's a full kinyan, le'inyan onsen, and le'inyan, you know, being magdir it as tashlumim, to therefore be subject to kimle, but it's not a kinyan, le'inyan, you know, not having to or being able to pay damim and not return the object itself. So that's the way. But again, which is an important, again, for the larger topic of, you know, kinyanik zela. Again, obviously there's another important gemara for the discussion, right? We're basically all discussing kinyanik zela. What's the nature of the ganav's kinyanim in an object? So basically what's coming out of the Ran is that even though he first said it was a full 100% kinyan, he's really backtracking and saying it's only a kinyan in certain dinim, but not a kinyan in the other dinim, i.e., it's really a partial kinyan in the end of the day. Sorry, yeah.
Should the other half of the kinyan be the one that generates the chiyuv?
Good question. You have to figure, it's not clear in the Ran, like, you know, why ones and tashlumim in, you know, kimle are grouped and not. That's basically what you're asking. That's a good question. I don't know. He doesn't really explain. That's a very good question.
Gemara doesn't sound like this at all. Gemara sounds like Rav holds
it's a full kinyan. Exactly.
Rav holds that it's partial.
Exactly. So that takes us to the next.
You said it's not a kinyan in regards to what?
In regards to, you know, the chiyuv hashava. In terms of, you know, the determination of whether you can pay damim instead of giving back the object itself. But this takes us to a number of achronim, again, who are still within this overall approach. Again, 1a, that the basis of Rav is that it's a full kinyan, but and they, right, instead of, you know, but then they ask this question implicitly or explicitly about, okay, if it's a full kinyan, so then why does a ganav have to return the abik ben? So instead of like the Ran just tempering that first statement to say, when I said it was a full kinyan, it's really a partial kinyan, they say, like, you know, Yitzhi was asking, they basically say, even though it's a full kinyan, there's a chovas hagavra of v'heishiv es agzela asher gazal, where basically the Torah says, af al pi, that the ganav is the full owner, there's still a chiyuv for the ganav to return the object which belongs to him. So again, this is found in the Chuvas Mishpat Kohen, again, which is quoted in the Margolios Hayam, in Os Yebez, and also in the Shut Achiezer, which I have in the Marmakomos here, Shut Achiezer here, where he also basically says in the second line, you remind CJ? You see the second line? To Rav Sfirle?
Yeah. Can we read?
You think I might?
Just one line. Rav Sfirle, he holds. Ha Hassan Dishli Gazlin, Kinyan Begirvach, Chayfetz. In the actual object,
so the full kinyan,
right? The Rebbe Rashi mechuyav hashavah and the mikvah to the heishiv, and only the chiyav hashavah comes from the pasuk of the heishiv.
Exactly, and you see this later on. He's also basically what Chaim Ozer is basically developing is this idea that Rav thinks it's a full kinyan, right? According to Rav, kinyanik zela, kinyanik gineva, full choshen mishpat kinyan. oh, you have to return the object? Yeah, that's a chomis agavra. This is the pasuk is mechayev. Hagufa is the chiddush of the pasuk of heishes agzela is to return it, even though it completely belongs to the god. Yeah.
Yeah.
One more
time.
Yeah.
Oh,
I guess so. What?
It's
not like
a
meaning, when you give, however you give it back.
I think that was of the Baal.
He's saying that you give it back to Baal Bayis afterwards, singly. Yeah, I never, correct. Never seen that discussed, but presumably, that's what's going on. Yeah.
If something is mine, but I have to give it to somebody else, doesn't that intrinsically mean that it's not mine?
No.
You're responsible.
Yeah, meaning, why are those two, meaning...
If it's not, if it's really mine, then it has no ties to you, right?
That's why I have a chiyuv to give staka.
What makes something a table?
I'm saying...
For which money? Which
money?
I'm saying, I don't think those two ideas are conscious, meaning...
If it's something that's mine, but really I have to make sure that it's not actually mine, so I mean,
you own Meister money. If someone steals your Meister money, you have to pay that.
It's hard to use the word mine in this case. It's not like
meaning, exactly like, meaning the Torah defines it as yours, and therefore nafkamina for, you know, that it's mugdar as tashlumin, etc., etc., chiv onis, whatever, whatever. And the Torah's, the chiddush of the Torah is that apapi, that the ganav, you know, took possession of it, you know, through the ma'aseh gezeilah, which is its own chiddush, apapi can you have to return it. I don't see that as, I don't see those as contradictory. You know, you can give like a lot of examples. I mean, give other examples. Give other examples of this also, like where you have to give something away, but before you do that, it's still yours, and you don't come up with anything. Besides, it's stuck. I guess it's not specific, but you know,
money.
What? Either way, yeah, I don't.
Rumor.
Yeah, either way, I don't want to get into each case, but either way, I'm not so bothered by the concept. Okay, so again, still within you know this 1A, but now going back to Rava. Right, so far we basically just saw in the Gemara, Rashi, Chiddush Ha'aron, and some of these Achronim, all explaining that the Pshat and Rav, right, the reason why he applies Kimlei to the case of Be'en is because it was a full kin. According to this approach, the Pshan Rava, depending on the Girsa, we'll call it Rava, just so we don't confuse ourselves. Pshan Rava is the opposite, according to this approach, right? Guf of the Machok is whether you're Kone. So Rav says you are Kone, and Rava holds that you're not Kone. And therefore, according to Rava, since you're not Kone, and therefore it's just Hachzaras Pikaldon, and therefore it's not within the Gather of Tashlumen, and therefore it doesn't fall under, you know, the category of Kimlai. So let's just, you know, quickly see a number of Rishonim, who within Rabbah, again, spell out that Rabbah holds there is no Kenyan whatsoever. So starting with Rashi, so go back to Dramaskal Mestabra. I don't want to... Mestano, would you mind?
Mestabra, Nusud Rab, Puter, Shavar, Bein Aksha, Bein Ma'achar, Zman,
Yeah, so yeah, the first part of that Rashi is important for our next topic, which is a huge chiddush of Rashi and some other Rishonim in the Sugya, that even if you're Shavar Acharkach, still Tur Kimlei applies, but leave that for now. But the key is what? And yes, because you're a Shavar, therefore, Vitashlumin.
That's when in the day, though, it's even Lafiyubin, Malcolm Musa. Like, it's Shulman itself, like, it's you're the only one to make the Chayav the Shulman, Malcolm Musa.
Meaning, right? We'll see the contrast in the next Rashi. But again, once it's Shavar, so then it's Tashlumin. And since now, in the case of Shavar, it's Tashlumin, therefore Kimlei doesn't apply. But, about Natalo, this is going to be clear.
Of Natalo, Istavra...
Lomistavra, it's like a green line, right? Lomistavra.
Yeah, Lomistavra, Bahad Milsa, Rab, the Potter, Bah.
Why?
The Kheva, and the Kaiminan, the Kaimin, hey, Kolhecha, the Isnehu,
wherever it is, it belongs to who?
The master.
Belongs to the Baal Bayis. It's just a tikkun, exactly. So in Rashi, she tells us, again, within this approach, while we saw before, he explained Rav as holding it as a kinyan gamor, therefore it's a kinyan gamor, therefore it's a tashlumim, and therefore kimlei applies. When it comes to Rava, it's the opposite. The only time it's tashlumim is in a case of bishishiber, but kol zman, that it's natal, that it's be'en, then it's just a pikadon, and therefore when you return it, it's just hachzaras pikadon, that's not the gather of tashlumim. So similar, so you have Rashi, then again you have the Chidush Erad, that same piece, again, explicitly explains Rava along these lines as holding that there was no kinyan at all. I'll just read it quickly, one line. The Ka'ama Rava, Mistabra Milsi Derav Vishishiber, right? Kimlei is limited to the case of Shiber, Kolomer. Sheshabra Nagana Bimachteres, again, he's arguing on Rashi on the other point, it's only when you destroy it in the Machteres. Hein Bishogik, Hein Bimazin, De'ena Demazin Mishalim, fine. Aval Natal, Vakilim Hein Berushuso, but if the item is still Be'en, then Lo Zacha Behem Haganav, so then the Ganav does not have a Kinyan, therefore, v'chayiv la'achziram, and therefore, kimlei doesn't apply. So again, Rashi in the Chiddush Iran clearly explain, in a stark contrast to Rav, who holds that there is a kinyan, the basis of Rava is that there is no kinyan. Again, a fundamental machlokas midaraisa about whether or not there's been a kinyan. So Akan is approach 1a, again, that within the machlokas within the realm of kinyanim, and version A of this is that the machlokas is midaraisa whether there has been a kinyan or not. Rav says there has been a kinyan, therefore kimlei applies. Rav, there's no kinyan, midah reisah.
Again, what's exactly the shita of the ram in the exactly what the kinyan is?
One more time?
The shita of the ram,
yeah.
Exactly what the kinyan is. Can you do that?
Meaning within Rav, you're saying?
Yeah.
So again, it's a partial kinyan. It's hard to say, hard to know much. The notion of a partial kinyan, that's not so difficult. You can't. Kinyan Leperos, Kinyan Leguf. There are a lot of models of like partial Kinyanim. Like Shutzis. Meaning, the concept of being there being a partial Kinyan, Shutzis is not really, that's totally different. And the fact that you have a Kinyan Le'inyan in one realm and not Le'inyan in another realm, Kinyan one. So that applies. So basically, the way the Ron says it is that your Kinyan is within for the realm of Kimlei and Onsen, but not Le'inyan Le'chiyav Hashava. Again, as I said before, it seems a little arbitrary in terms of.
Is Chiyuv Hashava part of the kinyan?
Well, according to him, yes. The fact that you have to return the object itself, according to the Ran, is a reflection of the fact that it's not a full kinyan. Yeah, that's what I was saying. The other Achronim say that, not the Ran. The Ran doesn't say, "Oh, full kinyan, but beheshiv," like the Achiezer and the Mishpat Kohen say, as I was bringing as a contrast. The Ran says, "Oh, the fact that you have to be meshiv the item itself, that's a reflection that it's not a full kinyan," which is fascinating. He didn't have to say that. It's very interesting. So again, for the Ran, it's a partial kinyan, even if in Rav. So according to these other achronim and pashas of Rashi, is that it's a full kinyan, and the chiyav hashava is some outside chavos agavra. Oh. Yeah. So version 1b, again, still within the first approach that the machlokis is not about kimlei, but it's about the realm of kinyanim. But in contrast to version 1a, that at Machokis Tum Rava and Rav is a Machokis Mit Del Raisa, whether or not there's a Kinyan, version 1b is that both Rav and Rava agree on the Del Raisa level. Right? To which side? They both agree that there is a Kinyan and there's not a Kinyan.
There's a Kinyan.
That there is a Kinyan. Right, they both agree, according to the second for 1b, that there is a Kinyan Mit Del Raisa. So Rav Shita makes a lot of sense. Once it's a Kinyan D'oraisa, therefore it's a Chiyav Tashlumim, and therefore Kimlei should apply. So according to this version, what's the basis of Rava? What's the basis of Rava? Rava. I mean, Rav is understood. Right, Rav Shita that Kimlei applies, that's understandable, because what you hold is a Kinyan D'oraisa. So what's the basis of Rava to hold that there's no Kimlei? Not Xerus Kaz. No, this is about why there's no Kimlei. They give back the be'en. So it's the opposite of Xeris Kosev, it's a Takana Drabana. So again, according to the second version, Rava and Rav agree on the Daraisa level there is a Chiv, so that there's a Kinyan, and therefore Mida Araisa, Mi'ikra Din, Kimlei should apply. the basis of Rava, who says that Kimlei doesn't apply when the item is Ve'en, is that Rava is Mechadish at Takana Derabana. Takana Derabana, which basically says that Kol's Mana, the item, the vase, you know. What? Could be, or it's like a Lotei Chotein Ischar, it's a different version.
Isn't that generally understand Beishim's Exela?
Well, this is not really Beishim's Exela as much as the Takana Derabanan is that it's where Kimlei doesn't apply. Again, the point here is that Midaraisa Kimlei should be Poter, and then the Takana Derabanan is that when the item is Be'en, we're not going to apply the Tur Kimlei. The idea seems to be that, like, you know, when the item is Be'en, we're not going to let, you know, not going to, like, let the Gana be, you know, it's a Chote Nischar type idea, like, of being able to keep, you know, the item itself, we're going to make him return. We'll see the Lishonos right now. So again, according to these Shitos, both Rav and Rava agree there's a Kinyan Daraisa. The only thing that Rav is arguing about is that he's Mechadish this Takana Drabanan, this Chumra Midrabanan. So who's the first Rishon to say this? The Baal HaMor. Exactly. Right, the Baal HaMor is saying, again, we're going to see that this issue, which we're setting up now about whether Rava is Me'ikar Adin, whether it's Midaraisa or it's Drabanan, we have the major implications in terms of, like, the, you know, section 2, our second topic about Shavar Achartav. We'll get back to that. It's very important to keep this in mind. So the Baal HaMor basically says this explicitly. Actually, everyone can turn to the Baal HaMor because it gets me important. A couple important points here. Baal HaMor. No. Back to the Gemara. In the Oz V'Hadar, it's, you know, Amid Memches. So, just turn to the Baal HaMor. Again, a number of important things in Baal HaMor. In Oz V'Hadar, yeah, Memches. So, in the Oz V'Hadar, the last three, again, the Mor HaGadol, the last three words on the first column, Ba'af Agaf. Anybody have an old version? Can you find that?
Yeah.
Anybody not have it?
Me.
Me, I don't have it.
The old version?
I have it, okay.
Anyone in the old version know where the Baal HaMor is? Baal HaMor?
Yes, here. Right there, right by the kuf.
Right by the kuf? You see it?
Oh, yeah. Halfway down.
Say halfway down. Or gadol near the kuf. You see it, Yitzi? You see a kuf? You see, like, a little kuf? Okay, so yeah. Alicia, would you mind? Baal HaMor?
He wrote.
Exactly. So it's very important. So this is the key line of the Baal HaMor, that the basis of Shita's Rava is that it's a Takana Derabanan. So again, keep your finger. To pay back, exactly. Despite the fact that Me'ikar Adin Kimlei applies, because Me'ikar Adin Midaraisa, there's a Kinyan.
Why do you say it's the Din Daraisa of the Heshiv, and that?
The Heshiv. Because it's a Kimlei. It's a Ptur Kimlei with so the Pater of the Heshiv.
Kimlei's Pater, okay then.
So Heshiv's out of discussion. There's Kimlei, Paters. Right? Because the Heshiv would be a Tashlumim. And the big picture. Because if you think it's a Kinyan Daraisa, so therefore when you return it, when you're Makayan, the Heshiv is like Zela, that's a Tashlumin. Since it's a Tashlumin, Kimlei is Poter. So even though that's Me'ikar Adin, comes along Rava and says, Afal Pikin is a Chiyav Derabanan to return it. So again, keep one finger on the place and go back to the Gemara.
Well, that should be something with Kimlei.
What?
Why should that be exempt from
Kimlei? That's Gufa Dindra Banan, is that we don't apply Kimlei.
You just,
like, we'll see. We'll see what. Well, yeah, the Machokis, according to this, is whether you have this Takana Drabanan.
Wouldn't be obvious that, if the Rabbanan said
that's
my question.
No.
How do you not know
that? The big issue with this Pshat and you'll see the Baal HaMor is going to deal with this implicitly, is that how do you read this into the Gemara? Right? According to the Gemara, what is Rava's response? Right? What's the Veloi? Sorry. What is... Yeah, what's the Veloi? Right? The Rav, in the line of Ha'elokin, basically just said that... Let's make sure I'm getting this. Right? Right, the line of Ha'elokin basically just said, oh, just prove that there's a Kinyan D'Oraisa. Right? So then, Rava... So Rav basically proved his din. I proved the application of Kimlay by proving that there's a kinyan, which again already is a little strange because Rav agrees to that. Right? Rav agrees to make her a din. So then, the question is. That was a lot. So the question is, if the basis of Rava, right, when Rava argues in Rav, right, the basis of Rava is to say that, yeah, you're right, Nida Oraisa, but the reason why I argue, the reason why I limit the Torah to case of Shiber and think that the case of Natal is Chayiv is because of the Takana D'Rabbana, right? That's the basis of Rava. So why does Rav in the Gemara go back and say, V'ha'alo Kim, there's really a kinyan D'Oraisa? I mean, Bishlama, according to approach 1A, that goof of the Nekudas HaMachlokis between Rav and Rava is whether there's a kinyan D'Oraisa or not. So then, when Rava first said, no, there's no kinyan, right? That's why Kimlay doesn't apply. I understand why Rav has to come back and say, what do you mean? Fellow Kim, there is a kinyan. But if Rav, according to the Baal HaMor, if Rav and Rava both agree that Mida Oraisa, there's a Kinyan, and the basis of Machlokis for Rava is not arguing about Kinyan, it's just a side factor that Afal Pikain, Mida Rabbanan, there's a Takana, so then why is Rav stressing the fact that, oh, Mida Oraisa, there's a Kinyan? It's like he's talking to the wall. Rav agrees to that. So, if you read the Baal HaMor carefully, he's...
What's Rava doing when he's objecting to the original assumption of what Rav said?
In the Velovi?
No, before that. When Sarah Mills said Rav is Shiva, there was any Rav Natal, well...
No, that was just a statement. So according to Baal HaMor, what that means is, oh, there's a Takana D'Rabbanan in the case of Natal.
Uh-huh.
So now Rav responds, oh, but Midaraisa, he's Kona. So the question that the Baal HaMor, and the Baal HaMor is going to ask on himself, is that, what is Rav doing? Rav agrees to that. So if you look carefully back to the Baal HaMor, Baal HaMor is sensitive to this. And he has to have Mechudash read in the Gemara. See, Baal HaKim, like three lines down, Elisha. Baal
HaKim, O my Rav, afilo Natal, the Kevon, the V'yesh Le'idomim, and Enzu Kanyan B'shusei, in anointing, the same way that in a case where yesh le'idomim, like an Aval HaBen, so him Nenzi, it's going to be Chayim, but an Ami, Kein Le'idomim, Kaimim B'shusei, it's going to be, it's like it's his Le'gami, and it's going to be Chayim. V'ma'adilu, Mechzein Kemeis, U'mishalim.
So what he just inserted into the Gemara?
That if he gives it back, it's Mechzei Kemeis.
Kemeis and Mishalim. Basically, the Baal HaMor, Lishitaso, basically inserts an additional line to the Gemara. He basically says that when Rav comes back and like justifies again the Kimlay, based on the fact that it's a Kinyan D'Oraisa, so the gist, right, the main gist of what he's saying is not just that there's a Kinyan D'Oraisa, because Rav agrees to that. It's rather, says the Baal HaMor, that since Mida Oraisa, there should be Kimlay, Rav's arguing, you can't, apply a Takana D'Rabbanan, because that Takana D'Rabbanan would have problems that people will not realize. Basically, that Takana D'Rabbanan will uproot the entire din of Kimlay. Right? Mechzi Kimesa Mishalim. If that Takana, Rava says, Takana D'Rabbanan to uproot Kimlay. Rav responds, if you have a Takana D'Rabbanan which uproots Kimlay, then people will get the misconception that there's no such din as Kimlay. People will think would be maxi that your mace umishalim. So according to the Baal Amor, Lishitoso, he reads into the Gemara that the Shach Vartaria is not what appears to be on the surface level about whether there is a kinyan. It's rather the Shach Vartaria is rather about, you know, the appropriateness of a takana drabanon.
What's the issue with maxi? Okay.
It's like any other problems that, you know, generally we don't want, you know, the Rabbanon aren't going to, you know, establish dinim if there's going to be a counter pressure of people forgetting that there's a din of kinyan. That's basically what's coming down to it. So according to Baal Amor, the Shach Vartaria between the Machlokes between Rav and Rava is the appropriateness of applying this takana drabanan. Rava says we apply the takana drabanan, and then Rav counters that no, basically that takana drabanan would have problems of people not, you know, people forgetting about the din of, you know, Kimmel. Well, not in this case, really.
In this case, there's an
orange
misa, which
also, I mean, which is not
But
I think your question would be much stronger if every application of Kimlay was a basin. What I'm responding to you is that actually our sugya is an application of Kimlay outside of basin. So I'm saying that could be, you know, in the case of, you know, a Rodev case or a Bama Ferris case, where, you know, basin doesn't necessarily know about it. And, you know, let's say the next time, you know, people are going to forget. In the case of people, I think that even Bishishiber, you know, you're going to know that, you know, you're going to be chayev. So that's interesting. Just like one other ara in the Baal Amor, a couple guys asked me in Seder, is that if you go on, so right again, now the Gemara, right, back in the Gemara, you think back to the Gemara says v'lohin, right? The Gemara, the Pashtus now goes back to justify Rava. Right? The Gemara, in the previous line, justified Rav by saying, oh, the fact is a chiyav ones, that proves that the kinyan d'oraisa, and therefore Kimlay applies. And the Gemara, Papasha's response is v'lohi, right? Which Papasha seems to go back and justify the shita of Rava. Right? And therefore you would assume that the pshat in the v'lohi would be the same pshat as in Rava. But, Shalom, if you don't mind, would you mind reading the Baal Amor? Shalom had this question in Seder. We're going to see the Baal Amor, the way he explains the v'lohi is in stark contrast to the way he explains Rava. So the question has been asked, the Baal Amor seems to be so circumcised. Right? Before, again, the Chazar, before we read, before he explained Rava, that really Rava agrees and the Ikra Din, there is a Kinyan, even on the Be'en. Why does Kimli not apply? Because Takana Drabana. Right? That's what he just said. But yet, right now, in the V'lohi, again, explaining the Pashas of the Gemara, the Baal Amor is going to seemingly say, like, approach 1A, that the basis of, right, the basis of there not being a Kimlay in the case of Be'en is not because of Chumrat Rabbanon, but it's in the Iker Adin because it's a Pikada. So let's first read it.
Okay. V'lohi, Kloymar, V'lohi Mestavar, Tamid Darav Baha. So only for the bad stuff, not for the good stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this is like, you know, with the way Rashi and the Ran, this is what we've been calling, you know, approach 1A. Explaining the basis of Shita's Rava is that since there was no Kinyan, therefore, it's just Hachzaras Pikadon, and that's not within the Gedra of Tashlumin, and therefore there's no Kimlay. So if you read the Baal Amor, you're like, wait a second, why is everyone quoting the Baal Amor based on, you know, the beginning, the ratio of the Baal Amor, which is focused on Takana Drabanan, if at the end, you get a completely different pshat? Or, more succinctly, isn't the Baal Amor being so circumcised? I sort of already answered it when we read the Gemara by saying that while V'lohi could be the Shita of Rava, it doesn't have to be. So
how
it could
go on to the same lobby.
What?
Has Baal Amor?
Oh, that was Valohi. Oh, basically, his pshat and Valohi is the pshat on the Gemara that We're basically saying that a ganav does not have a kinyan d'oraisa. And therefore, the reason why there's no kimle for be'en, by natal, is because it's just hachsaras pikadon. So that seems to be a direct stira to what he said before in Rava, that Rava no agrees it's a kinyan d'oraisa, and just be, ooh, it's late, and just because it's the, because of the side takana d'rabbanan. So in short, as we answered before, that the Pashas, the way the Baal Mor is reading the Gemara, is that the Velohi is not the Shita of Rava. That's the stum of the Gemara, which is offering an alternative. It's the Shita, meaning it's the same Shita of Rava, but Velabi Tameh. Again, same Shita of Rava, that Kimlei doesn't apply, that Kimlei doesn't apply in the case of Natal, but not because of Chumar Darbana, but rather because in the Ikar Din, Kimlei doesn't apply because there's no Kinyan Daraisa. In a line, just really quickly, you know, along the lines of this, you know, approach 1B of the Baal Ma'or, that the basis of Rava is a Chumra, that it's a Chumra Derabanan, you also have the Shita Mikubetzes, there's the Shita Yeshana, and the Shita Mikubetzes in Ksubis, Lamadalat Amabiz, and I have it on the Mamar Koma sheet. Again, the Shita Yeshana also formulates, when describing the Shita of Rava, of why Kimlei doesn't apply in the case of Natal, he says, Shelo Yechot Enishar. Again, which is, you know, i.e., it's a Tindra Abanan. Clear. Dindrabanan, Shalom Yechot Nishar. We don't want, you know, the ganav to, you know, get rewarded by being able to keep the vaz, being able to keep the ben, so we're mechayev him to return it. So again, yeah, but again, that's the Shita Yeshana. So again, so far, basically, again, broad approach number one of the Machlokes is not about Kimlei, it's rather about Kinyanim. First version of that 1A is that the machlokes between Rav and Rava is midal raisa, where there's a kinyan meikar adin. Second version 1B is that they all agree midal raisa, there is a kinyan dal raisa. Machlokes is whether there is a takana zirabah.